What a wonderful time of worship that was. Where else would we want to be? In the presence of God. And it's great to say what's been happening in our lives, isn't it? And sometimes things are real tough, aren't they? And you're going through stuff and you think, wish God will answer me now. But God knows exactly the timing and the right time, and we have to keep telling ourselves that, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And, oh, I forgot to pick up the little clicker. Have joined us today. We've been going through the spiritual gifts. And for a couple of weeks, Mike talked on prophecy. And now we come to the word of wisdom. But I thought it would be good to read the passage from Corinthians. When we get it up, eventually, there you are. I think that's readable. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He writes them a letter to show them how to live right, show them how to live together. And at times they weren't living so well. They were doing all sorts of odd things. When you go to look at the communion service, they were eating too much, getting drunk at the communion service because they weren't waiting for people. And they were eating all the bread, and they weren't really doing. They seemed to be living as if they're all individuals. But Paul wrote this for our instruction and for theirs, to help us live in the right way under God, and under the leadership of Christ, their Lord and their Master. So when we come to Him, it's not just sins forgiven; it's about coming to Christ as our Lord and making Him number one. And doing the things that He'd want us to do. So here's the passage that we find the spiritual gifts in. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want to know that no one who is speaking, I'm sorry, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing between spirits, to another the speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them just as He determines. It's Jesus' desire to form them and us into one body, into oneness. Verse 20, which is after this, later on in the passage, it starts talking about the body parts. It says, you are many, and there are many parts, and they all got a function. Yeah? So, like you've only got to look at your own body. Your fingers don't do the same thing as your eye, and your toes don't do the same thing as your ears. Each part is really important. But we don't say, oh, one part's not important, the other part is. It all works together to make us one body. So that's the picture that Paul's bringing. And in this way, he's saying there's different kinds of working. Everyone's the same God. We're all working together. It's truly amazing that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Trinity have always worked together as one. And they live in harmony. And He leads us to work together in a very similar way, in harmony. It's interesting that He started it, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were living in unity. And then he asks us to live in unity, to be like him. So what does that mean for us? That means we've got a responsibility for one another. We've got a reliance on one another. We need to be able to rely on it. Every one of us is an integral part. We're all a vital part of the body of Christ. No body part is unnecessary. So you can say to yourself, I'm not unnecessary. In this fellowship, I'm necessary. Because that's what the Bible's saying. And what a privilege and an honour. Talk about humbling. It's humbling to realise that we've been given a position in the body of Christ that nobody else can fulfil. You've got a unique position. And if you look at verse 11, it says he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So each of us has got a role to play, and each one will be given different gifts at different times. No one's redundant, no one's a spectator. So never think, oh, I come to church, I'm just a spectator. Everyone is needed. One body made up of different parts. So now we come to the message of wisdom. When it mentions there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And Mike pointed out that prophecy, which comes after that, knowledge to another faith. Where's prophecy? To another prophecy. Yeah, it comes after the miraculous powers. And of course, it's a vitally important thing, prophecy. And we've thought about that. Let's bring in the now word of God. What's God saying to us now? But why do we need wisdom then, if we've got prophecy? Is it not one and the same? Sometimes we need wisdom to know how and when to speak out. What's the right time to speak out? We need wisdom to work out what's not of him. Yeah, we've got to think it through. We need wisdom to discern timing. Exactly, when do we bring this word? I've got a word from God. God's saying to me, when do I bring it? Or should I bring it? So should I just be praying about it? So we need wisdom for that. And we need wisdom for the practical outworking of prophecy. We get a prophecy. God says something, he's going to do something. What do we do with it? Do we go out and do it straight away? Or we do it later on? Do we let God work it out? Do we just wait on God? Or is it a bit of both? A bit of working it out and working with God and waiting on God. Very important. Interesting. The wisdom is at the top of the list. Now, in verse 31 of this passage, it says, seek the greater gifts. So that leaves you with a bit of a question then, doesn't it? What are the greater gifts? Is it speaking in tongues? Or is it the top of the list? The top of the list is the one I'm talking about today, wisdom. And it's certainly very important. There is a problem, though, that the Corinthian list is not the only list. There are other lists in the Bible. There are other gifts in Romans 12, gifts of serving, gifts of giving, gifts of encouragement. They're mentioned, and elsewhere, other things are mentioned, spiritual gifts of leadership, teaching, hospitality. Now, I appreciate within all those, could well be that prophecy and wisdom is used, but when you look at all these different things that God's doing, what's the most important one? Perhaps wisdom tells us that the most important gift is the one that's needed at the time. You know, it was needed at the time of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues. That was a very important gift at that point, wasn't it? Why? Because of the circumstances. And all the people said, oh, we heard the praises of God in our language. So it was really important at that time. If someone's looking for wisdom, that's the right time to bring a word of wisdom, isn't it? We're always looking for the way forward. So maybe prophecy, that can come at any time. But particularly at vital times when we're trying to hear God and we want his leading. We need a servant-like heart, don't we? Just make God miss anything. We need a servant-like heart looking to build one another up. And we need to seek the gift that we need at the time. The Lord orders our steps. And you know, interesting, every one of us, even the visitors, God's brought you here today. Yeah? Because he guides our steps. Isn't that wonderful? The fact that we're part of this church is not just by chance. I've been here quite a time. Some of you have been here less time. Some have been here more time. But the point is, God's guided us here. And therefore, we've got a responsibility to the body. We've got a responsibility to everyone, each other. Isn't that encouraging that we're in this together? And God's brought us together for a purpose. I find that really encouraging. Let's have a look at the word of wisdom specifically. When you define the word of wisdom, it's pretty difficult. You could say it's knowing how to use knowledge. We've got some knowledge. How do I use it wisely to achieve something? It could be the Lord's answer to make a decision in a particular circumstance. You've got knowledge about what you could do, these different areas, but which way to go? What am I going to do at this crossroads? I remember being in a church meeting one day and we were trying to work out what to do, and suddenly someone said to me, and everyone went, yeah, that's the way forward. So that was a word of wisdom, wasn't it? Now, I can remember the exact circumstance, but I remember who it was. And I remember him saying this, and he was just a member of the congregation. It just, man, that's the answer. That just felt right. So let's look at God's word about his wisdom. That's a good place to go. In 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 25, earlier in this, it talks about God's wisdom. And I think this is really interesting. I put a philosopher up there because this is what it says. So where does this leave the philosophers and scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made them look foolish and shown their wisdom to be useless nonsense. Since God in his wisdom saw it, that the world would never find him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Isn't that interesting? You're never going to get to God through man's wisdom. God says there's foolishness because they've got all different ideas. But it's foolishness. Listen to my way, he's saying. God's way seems foolish to the Jews because they want a sign from heaven to prove it's true. And it's foolishness to the Greeks because they believe only what agrees with their own wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say, it's all nonsense. But those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the mighty power of God and the wonderful wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisest human plans. And the weakness and God's weakness is far stronger than the greatest human strength. That passage is specifically about salvation. But it's clear that God's wisdom is, in the Bible, is very different from man's wisdom. Completely different. Trusting in Jesus seems like foolishness to the world. Have you ever had that thing where someone looks at you wide-eyed and goes, you go to church? Like you're a nutcase. Why would you go to church? But we know that's where we meet God. We need him. It's like not having your dinner if you don't go. So trusting Jesus seems like foolishness, but we know it's the wisest position. Does this lead us to the key then? What's the key to gaining wisdom? Want to be wise? Anybody here want to be wise? Only me. Okay. We all want to be wise. We want God's wisdom. So, okay. So we know God's wisdom is more important than man's wisdom. Even the mighty philosophers, they said important things, and we think about them. We go, look how wise they are. And there's modern ones today telling us, look how wise they are. But some of man's wisdom, they say, well, God didn't create the world. It just happened all on its own. It all came out of a big bang. Nothing was created out of nothing, but scientifically we know that's not possible. So we know it must be God. Surely that's wisdom. But man says, no. It's nothing to do with God. It just happened all on its own. So does this point us to the key of wisdom? Wisdom must come by revelation from the Lord. And how does he reveal himself? Very simple, isn't it? Through the Bible. That's where we're going to find all the wisdom from God. Because it's all in here. And if we know the word of God, we're able to speak it out. And God may well highlight a particular part in here for us, but we need to know it. We need to lean on God's word, yeah? Like lean on it. Really lean on it. Who else can we lean on? We've got to allow it to penetrate our hearts, our very being. The natural outcome, if we do that, must be that we're going to understand more. Practically, we need to hear and apply that wisdom into our lives as we read it. Not to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus said, you know the word of God, but you don't do it. We've got to do it as well. Can we ask for wisdom? Yes, we can. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. Can we ask for wisdom? Yes, we can. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Isn't it good that when we come to God, he's not pointing out your faults, so I'm not going to give it to you because you're not good enough. He said, I will give it to you freely. I lack wisdom every day. I need God's wisdom every day. If I don't say that, I'm relying on my own wisdom. I need to spend time in his word. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to spend time meeting together like we're doing now. I need to listen to sermons. I need to worship. That was important. I need to pray. We can read helpful books about the Lord and how to apply that. But that's a bit like listening to other Christians, isn't it? If we read a book by a Christian, he might not come to our church, or she might not come to our church, but we can listen to them by reading the words they've written down. It's really important to read Christian books that help us to understand more about God. Talking to each other about the Word of God, that's really important. All these things can foster godly wisdom as we rely on him. And asking recognises my own fallibility. How do we apply this to the corporate situation then? We need to pray for one another, don't we? We need to say, Lord, give me words to help other people. Help me to be wise in the way that I speak. Come together, ask for wisdom for me, but ask yourself for wisdom for others. Interesting what Trevor and Lisa were saying. And I've been in that situation, and I've no doubt we all have, but it's particularly poignant for them. You know, Lisa said, I sung that song like I'd never sung it before. But interestingly enough, do we do that for one another? Do I sing it for one another like it never meant before? Another person like it never meant before? When it's for me, I remember being in a situation and praying so hard, but it was all about me. Do I pray enough for others? I've been doing the the passage about water into wine. And one thing, and I've repeated it in some assemblies in schools, I've realised that Mary is a key figure in that, because she really cared for the people who run out of wine. She cared so much that she went and spoke to Jesus about it. Well, and even Jesus said at that point, that's not our problem. But actually, interestingly, she saw it as her problem. Do I see other people in our own fellowship? Do we see when they've got a problem that it's my problem? Because actually, we're in this together. That really shows love, doesn't it? It's lovely that we were able to pray for Trevor and Lisa. They put it out and we were able to pray. And there's the other issues that we pray as we ask for prayer, but it's good that we pray together and we pray for one another. So not only our personal things, but it's one body, love shared, not just individuals. A few examples of wisdom. Stephen was given outstanding wisdom, such that his Jewish persecutors were flummoxed. They couldn't give any explanation. His word was so strong. They could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Stephen was a mighty evangelist, and he went around telling people the word of God. How did he do that? There's no doubt about it. He knew the word of God, didn't he? He knew how to explain it. So he had a great deal of knowledge and understanding. But he was committed to preaching the gospel. And that leads us on to Matthew 10. What happened here? Hang on. Yes. I think that's in Matthew. Or is it in Peter? No. Hang on. I don't know what happened here. Just a second. Right. I'll leave it there. Obviously, didn't put that one in. Matthew, that's true. Sorry, that's my mistake. Matthew chapter 10 says this: on my account, you'll be brought before governors, kings, as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For you will not be speaking, but the Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. That's what happened to Stephen. The Spirit of God spoke through him. And, you know, we need help, don't we, to speak to one another, to live out the Christian life in this world. We won't always know the answers that some people give us, some questions people give us. Some people are able to argue so well, aren't they? As if they're denying the Christian faith, but they argue so well. However, this promise is given to us. God will give you something to say at the time when you've got to say it. He will give you wisdom. In our culture, often people are just a bit miffed and don't really, they just sort of, you get sidelined or ignored for being a Christian. Again, wisdom's needed there. And there's no excuse for not being prepared. This is where I got to. There's no excuse for not being prepared, because the Bible says this to us: be prepared in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Is that not wisdom in itself? That we do it when we speak to people, we do it with gentleness and respect. And in afterwards it says, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where it's very disarming when we do this with gentleness and respect. And this other verse here talks about we can be encouraged because we find wisdom within the Lord Jesus. You know, We need to make it a priority that Jesus is at the centre of our life. He's clearly the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. He's poured his love out into our hearts so that we can know him. Recognising wisdom. When we get to a word of wisdom, how do we know it's from God? But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So when someone brings a word of wisdom, they say something, is it pure? Then peace loving, is it bring us together in peace? Is it considerate? Is it thinking about other people? Is it submissive? Is this a word that helps us to be submissive to one another? Or is it building up one particular person? Is it full of mercy and good fruit? Is this word impartial? Not particularly thinking about what I want or what someone else wants. Is it impartial? And is it sincere? Because, you know, the word of wisdom will always bring unity, will always bring love, and will always lead us to the Lord Jesus. And I put this verse in again, because if it leads us to the Lord Jesus, that's where all wisdom and the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found, in Christ. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So wisdom is a really important thing to have. It's really important to bring words of wisdom and to be wise in the way we apply the word of God. And the only way we can do that is to know the word of God and ask him to help us and to help one another. In my conclusion, you'll be glad to know I'm getting near the end. Wisdom. How can we gain this wisdom that comes from God and not from men? It comes from God himself. It comes from his word. It only comes from God. But how can I seek God? How can I seek him? Christ reveals God to us, who is wisdom in itself. Do you remember that? WWJD? Do you remember what that stands for? What would Jesus do? I think if we think about the life of the Lord Jesus and think about a particular situation, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? Surely that's a great way of thinking. It's a very simple thing. Sometimes, I remember when I was at theological college, one lecturer said, the only trouble is, often I ain't got a clue what Jesus would have done. But you know, that's when we need God, lean on God and read about him and ask it for his wisdom. But you know, look at Jesus and say, "What, Jesus, if you were here, what would you do?" And we seek wisdom for each other. Why? Because of love. We love each other and we care for one another. And so we're going to seek wisdom. When you read the word of God, when we pray, pray for one another. Seek the word of God, not just for yourself, but for the whole body. We seek wisdom for each other because of love. Jesus said this, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Isn't that amazing? But it's challenging, isn't it? It's so challenging. Do I really love the body like Jesus says? A new command I give to you, love one another. How? As I have loved you. Wow, how can I ever attain that? It's something to attain to say, God, please give me a love for these people so I'll care for them and bring wisdom to them out of your word. Because we're all responsible. Every one of us is part of the body. So we're all responsible, not just one or two people. Do it as I have loved you, so you must, it's interesting, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. I'll leave it there because Jesus has brought us into a relationship with him. He wants to give us his wisdom, and he wants us to be the light of the world. So don't we need his wisdom? Let's pray and seek his wisdom daily. Amen.